3 minutes and 28 seconds later, only Cybertronians and humans remained alive in Little Iacon Central Square. Sylvie raised herself up on her elbows, blinking, and looked around. The world sounded like a great hollow dome with a waterfall beneath it until her oral implants finished rebooting. Toward the end, they'd shut her vestibulocochlear nerves down entirely to prevent permanent damage, which explained, she imagined, why she was lying sprawled on her back amid the rubble of the square. Soundwave and Blaster, back in robot mode and apparently unconscious, lay in similar positions to either side of her. A moment later, both of them stirred and sat slowly up, holding their heads.
"Okay, wow, ow," Blaster said. "I like that song, but that usage is not going on my top 40 anytime soon."
"Can't argue with the results, though," Sylphie replied with a wan grin.
"This was a triumph. I'm making a note here. Huge success."
Soundwave agreed. Miko ran over to them, her cracked visor open, and knelt down next to Sylvie.
"That was awesome!" she yelled at the top of her voice.
Sylvie winced. "You don't have to yell," she said. "My implants reset. I'm fine."
"What?"
Miko asked. "Oh," said Sylvie. She dug in her pack, came up with a Miraculon field ampule, and plugged it into the medical port on Miko's CVR plastron.
"Give it 5 minutes," she hollered. "You'll be fine."
Miko gave her a thumbs up and the kind of smile that said she wouldn't have minded if it had required surgery to put her right, after an experience that sublime. Strange girl, Sylvie thought. I quite like her. Then she struggled to her feet, Blaster and Soundwave rising as well, to take stock of the mess they'd made. It was total. Smashed, burned, crushed, slashed, or just plain fried, geth shells and pieces of same lay scattered everywhere, amid rubble and wreckage left behind by the battle itself. In the middle of the plaza, deafened and stunned Minicons were hesitantly thanking Bulkhead, Sari, and Stinger for the rescue. In one back corner, the lone geth dropship that was still on the ground when the endgame began lay over on its side, burning. All else was sparking, smoking, twisted ruin. And then, as a sort of cherry on top of the craziest day of her young life, Sylvie Daniels saw it. Another geth dropship descending toward the square from the east. For a moment, she thought it was another inbound, one that had slipped through the reactivated AA net. But the towers surrounding the square weren't moving to engage, and Terror's Cosmo Eagle, now coming into view behind it, was just following it down, not attacking. Then she realized it was on fire, its engines trailing flame and smoke behind it as it mushed unsteadily toward the ground. But it wasn't completely out of control. That much was plain from the way it moved. Sylvie squinted, looking more closely, then dug her collapsible binoculars out of her field kit and raised them to her eyes. There was a maroon and black Decepticon Sky Soldier standing on the upper hull of the Geth transport, just above the blackened, cratered scar where the forward sensor heads had been. His right hand was raised above his head like a bull rider's in a rodeo. In his left, he clutched a fistful of sputtering cables he'd apparently dragged from within the transport's hull, their energies crackling and arcing all along his arm. His face was split in a huge, almost maniacal grin as he rode the beast down, wringing the vaguest semblance of control out of its burning engines and shattered core systems. With a sort of strange, ponderous majesty, the wrecked transport scraped over the roofs of the buildings bordering the square to the east, flared clumsily, and plowed almost gently into the ground. The wreck threw up a cascade of crumpled steel as it skidded, the shriek of metal on metal and a great bow wave of orange sparks, halfway across the plaza. It came to rest, listing slightly to starboard, a half-dozen yards short of the spot where a startled Bulkhead had instinctively stepped in front of the still-dazed Minicon rescuees. Still grinning fiercely, the stranger jumped down from the ship's hunched back, jetted around to the side before landing, and blew the hull open with a couple of missiles that announced in a high, rasping voice, Last stop, Little Icon Central Square. Thanks for choosing Cybertron Transit. Don't forget your belongings. From within the shattered hull, another group of Minicons, equally dazed, emerged hesitantly, looking around in shock. Blaster to Red Alert, Blaster declared. The situation in Little Icon is contained. Lift the sector lockdown and get search and rescue in here ASAP. We got a bunch of people need medical attention in a hurry.
Roger that, Blaster. Help is on the way, Red Alert's voice replied.
Good job.
You too, Red. Those AA towers came back online just in time.
Terror swooped her SF-15D low over the plaza, saw that everything was under control, and turned for home, waggling her wings. Task Force Megadeth waved. The Sky Soldier sketched a jaunty, casual salute, then turned and strolled toward Soundwave and Blaster.
Well, he declared at the sight of the two of them surrounded by the obvious outcome of a hypersonic attack, one that he'd been able to hear even as he dueled with, and eventually mastered, the dropship he'd just ridden back to the ground. Addressing Sylvie, he asked,
"Your handiwork, I presume?"
"I had help," Sylvie replied, gesturing to the two comm officers. The stranger half-smiled.
"Of course. But I dare say it was your idea. Surely these two would never have thought of it," he added with a smirking gesture that took in both Blaster and Soundwave.
Blaster was staring at him, his face blank with surprise.
"I know that voice," he murmured.
Soundwave's face was always blank, but he still managed to register almost as much shock as he'd shown at Megatron's sudden reappearance as he said,
"Starscream."
The stranger bowed.
"At your service?"
"That's... okay, no, that's impossible," Blaster objected.
"Pfft," Starscream replied.
"What? Megatron comes back from the dead and everyone's, 'Ooh, all hail Megatron,'" he said with a slightly camp hand wave. "But I'm not allowed?"
He shook his head.
"Typical."
Then, kneeling down and leaning over Sylvie to address her again, he went on,
"Regardless, a very impressive piece of work, human. If I hadn't heard it with my own receptors, I wouldn't have believed it. The Boar and the Beatnik, working together for a common cause."
Blaster looked uncomfortable. "Oh, hey, well, guess we did."
"I won't tell if you won't."
Blaster let out a brief laugh.
"Nah, it's cool. Shake on it?"
Soundwave looked down at Blaster's offered hand, then up at Blaster again, as if he didn't know what to do with this unexpected offer of détente. He looked down again and saw Sylvie looking up at him. She nodded, a slight smile touching her lips.
"All right,"
he agreed, and shook Blaster's hand with his own. Autobase Comsen, Iacon. Battered and field repaired but unbowed, Task Force Megadeth returned to Autobase with Starscream in tow. His presence raised a few eyebrows at the gates, but since he wasn't really recognizable in his current form, nobody reacted with alarm. Just puzzlement as to why this beat-up early model Sky Soldier, apparently non-aligned, was being led into Autobase with the newly minted heroes of Little Icon. Still, Blaster vouched for him, so in he went. Comsen was bustling, with a double shift of techs and comm operators pulled in to try and get a handle on the fallout from the Little Icon crisis. The Geth were gone, either destroyed or escaped, but there was still the investigation of how they'd pulled off their intrusion to be done, and various after-effects, like the crashed security net in that sector, to be repaired. And at the same time, there was the game in Aerovex.
"What did we miss?" Sylvie asked sarcastically as she returned to the Minicon station next to the console Soundwave had staked out as his own before.
"The game's gone to Phase 3, Lightspeed reported. Megatron ordered a shift from positioning and exploratory tactics to fully active operations about half an hour ago. Looks like the ROE he transmitted are for a simultaneous capture-the-flag type scenario. Each team has an objective to defend and one to acquire from the other side at the same time. Couple of small firefights already, but nobody's quite built up any momentum yet.
Tell you what, though, Nosecone chipped in, the Reds are fighting like hell. I don't know what Thundercracker did to fire them up, but it worked.
Oh, Soundwave, you've got a bunch of traffic from Megatron and the two teams' comm guys buffered at your console, Lightspeed added. Mostly stuff for the game log.
Acknowledged,
Soundwave said, taking his seat and plugging in. Then he startled the Technobots slightly by adding,
Thank you.
They blinked at him, then looked at Sylvie, who shrugged. Work in progress, she said.
Okay, said Strafe.
Then, glancing warily across the room, he pointed with his chin at the battered Sky Soldier leaning against the wall by the door and asked, Who's your friend? He looks like he could use some time in a CR chamber. Would you believe me if I said Starscream? Sylvie asked with a smirk. Three consoles away, helping to coordinate the efforts of Iacon's small WDF garrison to help Red Alert's overextended department secure little Iacon, Alexis paused, looking toward Sylvie with shock on her face. Then she swiveled to see the same battered jet warrior she'd seen checking out General Courier's SF-15 before. He noticed her looking at him and glanced away, his half-patched face unreadable. Before she could do anything about it, though, Scattershot got everyone's attention by blurting, What the scrap? What? Blaster asked, breaking away from the impromptu debriefing he was giving Red Alert to cross to the Technobot leader's console. I just lost Aerovex, Scattershot said, flicking switches, then banging a fist down on his console. How is this happening? What do you mean you lost Aerovex? Blaster asked. Everything just went out. All my links to the sector security net, the boundary stations, even the video feed from Cosmos. All dark. He made a low powering down noise. Pew! Just like that. Gone.
Confirmed.
Soundwave said.
I have no connection to Red or Blue headquarters. All communications links with Aerovex disconnected.
More Geth? Blaster palmed his forehead. Oh man, my luck cannot be this bad. No, Red Alert called from his station. This is different. Nobody's masking the cameras or satellite imagery feeds for Aerovex like they did for Little Iacon. They're just down. Whoever's doing this doesn't care that we've noticed. He pressed a key. Red Alert to Jetfire. Come in, Jetfire. Nothing.
Blaster to Optimus Prime. We got another mess developing in your neighborhood, Big Boss. You read me? Over.
Blaster tuned across a few more frequency bands, then gave up.
Slag. This is weird. It's like Aerovex ain't there.
Starscream levered himself away from the wall and said,
I'll go check it out.
Red Alert turned and eyed him. And who might you be? He asked. The battered Sky Soldier half smirked.
Red Alert, he said reproachfully. I'm crushed you don't remember your old friend Starscream.
Red Alert's optics went wide.
You... that... how? It doesn't sound like we've got time for that, Starscream told him. Do you want my help or not? Bear in mind, I'm going there regardless. He added, I'd hate for almighty Megatron to get himself scrapped again before I have a chance to tell him how glad I am that he's back among us.
Red Alert stared at him for a second, unspeaking. He helped us out in Little Iacon, Sylvie told him. It's true, Blaster agreed. Saved a whole bunch of minicons the Geth had already carted off. Red Alert eyed the ex-Decepticon for a second or two longer, then made his decision and nodded. Go, he said. Try to keep in touch with Comsen as long as you can.
I'll do my best, Starscream told him. I don't suppose you have any backup you could send with me. That charming woman with the silver fighter, perhaps.
As if on cue, General Courier's face appeared on a screen near Red Alert's station. Red, it's Terror, she said. I'm rearming now. I can be down there in 15 minutes. We'd appreciate it, General, Red Alert told her. Be aware, though, we have no idea what you'll be flying into. Whatever's blacked out comms in that sector could have a nasty surprise for anyone who comes around investigating. Well, if I wanted a quiet life, I'd open a flower shop, Terror replied with a smile. Setting my waypoints now. Should be airborne again in... She glanced at something outside her comset camera's field of view. 90 seconds. We've got a wingman for you if you want him, Red Alert added, turning his station's pickup to show her Starscream. We've met, Terror said dryly. Why not? Crazy helps better than no help at all. I learned that from 300 years flying next to Haywire. Starscream grinned.
Now there's a legacy to live up to, he observed. Right then, I'm off. Expect me when you see me.
In the wake of his exit, nobody noticed Alexis slipping out after him.
He's different, Frenzy mused.
Rumble snorted.
Yeah, well, being dead probably does that, he said. Look at Megatron.
I wonder, Sylvie murmured. Then she shook her head and got back to work, backing up the Technobots and Soundwave as they tried to find a way through the firewall that had sealed off Aerovex, and trying not to think too much about what might be happening to Pris in there. She was, after all, a big girl. She could take care of herself. WDF Air Station Cybertron. Starscream stepped out onto the apron and watched Terror's Cosmo Eagle take off. He was preparing to follow when a voice from the middle balcony of the control tower stopped him. Starscream! He paused and turned to see Alexis standing at the rail, just about at his optic level.
You're... my Starscream, aren't you? She asked quietly.
Starscream considered trying to brazen it out, but it wasn't in him. Instead, he bowed his head slightly and replied,
I... am, yes. How is that possible? She asked.
The battered ex-Decepticon sighed, his shoulders sagging.
It's a long story, Alexis, and I have a job to do. I'll tell you all about it when I get back.
She hesitated, on the verge of insisting that that wasn't anywhere near good enough, but then relented.
All right. But before you go, at least tell me this much.
Searching his face with her eyes, she asked,
Why did you leave?
Starscream smiled a sad smile with the half of his face that could smile.
You were growing up, he said gently. You didn't need your imaginary friend anymore.
Then he transformed and was gone, streaking off to the south. Alexis stood watching the sky until his contrail dissipated, then turned and went inside, muttering,
The hell I didn't.
Autobot Air Defense Zone 19, Altahex, altitude 30,000 feet. Coming up on the edge of the Altahex perimeter zone now, Terror said. No sign of anything out of the ordinary so far. We should have eyes on the outskirts of the Aerovex wasteland itself in about 30 seconds. Roger, Eagle One, Stardeck replied. You're still 5x5. Okay, here we go. Look sharp and stick close. Starscream's damaged face half smiled at her from the center VDU.
Right with you, General, he said, sounding only slightly sarcastic.
Crossing the outer boundary... now. And just like that, the link back to Stardeck went dead.
Yeah, I was afraid something like that would happen, she said. Starscream, you still read me?
Loud and clear. Whatever they're doing, it's not normal jamming.
I don't like this at all. One of us should get back outside the zone and report. Off to the southeast, just on the horizon, a sudden flash so bright it momentarily washed out the starlight above lit up the broken landscape of the wasteland, and in its wake a column of flame-shot smoke boiled up out of the shattered streets of Aravex. What in the hell was that? Terror wondered.
I'm not sure, Starscream said.
Then, without changing his tone of voice at all, he added,
Perhaps we could ask them.
Next issue. While the Autobots pick up the pieces in Little Iacon and try to figure out how the Geth came to be sacking the district, and why, even stranger things are afoot in Aravex. Starscream's return may not be the most expected of the day, but it might end up being the shortest. Transformers, Cybertron Reloaded No. 6. Adapt and Survive.